Susan Shanahan is a senior trading standards officer. Tell us in a few words, if you can, what is the purpose of having what you call community protection trading standards? What are you protecting us against?
Trading standards started off with our weights and measures. So it was making sure that anybody in trade or business conducted themselves fairly with their customers. So weights and measures, descriptions, safety, food. It's just making sure that everything is fair and as it should be. And if not, then people had a place to go to complain and, you know, we would sort that out.
It's still doing that, but that's less of that. There are new problems.
There are new problems, and I guess more and more legislation gets added to the list for trading standards to enforce. We have moved away from some of the legislation that we used to always enforce.
Weights and measures, and sounds like a sort of imperial thing.
Yes.
Now we've got the telephone, but not only that, we've got the internet.
Indeed.
And what's happening is very difficult for the average person to understand and to pick their way through.
Yes.
So what are the sort of cases you're dealing
with? We get a lot of complaints, either from victims themselves or from families of victims where they have been scammed, whether it be from telephone calls or mail over the internet. The growing pace of technology allows scammers to contact us far more cheaply than ever having to go out and buy lots and lots of different stamps, and they can do it instantly for little or nothing. Unfortunately, it does feel like we're a bit under attack from scammers.
They may be somebody that's semi-legitimate, but they're more likely to be somebody that's actually trying to get hold of information or money. What are they after?
You've got different frauds, and we've always had different frauds. You've got out-and-out frauds, people pretending to be from your bank, pretending to be the police, pretending to be from BT or Virgin, calling about your internet being compromised. They're largely after money. With trading standards, scams that we deal with are to do with mis-selling of products and services. So that's going to be more about selling you a call blocking service, selling you solar panels for your roof, loft insulation that you don't need and you don't want and really can't afford at the price that they're charging.
The call blocking. So somebody will try and sell you a service which in theory will protect you from people like them.
Yes. It's quite ironic that these people will ring up and say, do you get lots of nuisance phone calls? We can stop them. Well, they are a nuisance phone call, and what they'll be looking to do is to take money, sell you a useless service, provide you with a useless call blocker that won't work, and then come back to you over and over again to ask for more money.
How can we deal with those people? Because how do we know that they're a scam? Is there such a thing as a real call protection?
There are very good call blocking devices out there which can be really useful. They can be built into your phones or separate boxes that you can buy. I think as a rule of thumb, if anybody calls you up out of the blue offering to sell you something, you just say no. You cannot know whether they're legitimate or not, whether that price is a good one. You don't have the opportunity to shop around. So any cold caller, just don't deal with them.
How could you find a call protection system that works?
If you're interested in that kind of technology, then you can, I suppose, ask family and friends to help you to find something that's going to suit your needs. For example, there are a number of phone providers at the moment who are offering free call blocking services on the phone. So you can go to your bill, contact customer services, say, I'm getting a lot of nuisance phone calls. What can you do for me? That would be free of charge. And some phone providers will say, actually, we're doing this, and they will help you with that. Others, unfortunately, are still charging, so then you'll have to move on. It very much depends what you need. You can buy those actual phones that have got call blocking technology within them, or the separate devices that can fit on a phone. You don't have to press any buttons, and actually they're the best things possible for really vulnerable people.
And how does somebody get to there? Do they have to come to you? Do they ask you?
Anybody can buy them. You can go to the internet, you can go to reputable retailers, Amazon, John Lewis. They all sell call blocking devices now.
Right, so we can assume if you go to Amazon or John Lewis that what's available there is
absolutely
on. Right.
Trading standards do have a stock of call blocking devices that we loan to people who have been victims of scams or who are vulnerable and who are likely to be a victim of a scam. We don't have one to give out to everybody who gets nuisance calls. We wish that we did, but we don't. So if there is somebody that you're aware of and that could really do with a call blocking device, because they have, particularly if they've lost money to a scam, then we will go out and we'll fit one and loan it to them for as long as they need.
Then you get lots of other types of phone calls. Charities ring up. Sometimes it's a charity that you're donating to already. They're probably wanting to check with you that you want to give a bit more.
The whole thing about charities is really difficult because you know yourself how hard an awful lot of these charities work, and they're all trying to raise money for their good causes. But I am aware from visits that we've gone out to see people who just find it really difficult to say no to charities. And they've got a reason to give money to a number of charities. We've turned up at people's homes and the entire front window of their house is covered in charity stickers. And you speak to them about who they're donating to. There was a lady who had 20 monthly direct debits set up purely for charities, and she didn't have enough left at the end of the month for herself. But when I tried to help her to cut down, she had a reason to give to every one of those charities. And of course, they passed their details on to other charities, say, this person might be able to help you too.
So all you can do is say, well, have a think about what you're doing, because that money isn't necessarily going in its full amount to the end aim.
No. I can think of a lady in St. Albans that had always given money all of her life. You know, that was what she did in her profession, a very caring profession. And when I visited her in her house was full of charity mailings. So in the end, with her consent, we ended up taking that mail out of her house and writing to those charities and saying, stop contacting her. She no longer wants to hear from you, and Trading Standards will come after you if you do any more. And in the main, they listened. A few of them tried to argue with us, and then I couldn't stop her giving to the 20 or 30 sure. that she wanted to give to, but at least it cut down on the 100 odd that she was getting constantly.
Yeah. As you say, once you respond to one inquiry, whether that's on the telephone or by letter, your information is then passed to others, and so the loop goes on and gets bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. And
bigger.
And especially with mail scams and things like that, you know, the scammer might originally just have your name and address, but then they ask for further information from you so they can tell you about your win, and so they can send you your check. Well, we're going to need a telephone number so that we can contact you to tell you, and just to confirm that you're over 18, can you give us your date of birth? And then people are suckered into giving even more information about themselves, which is then sold on to companies all around the world.
Would you say that the majority of people who are affected by scams, whether they're postal scams or telephone scams, tend to be older rather than younger?
We all get scams. You know, we all get the telephone calls about PPI insurance and accidents that we've had, and the calls about our internet being compromised. But I guess the elderly and vulnerable are more likely to get certain scams. Their details are more likely to get sold on by catalogues that they might use, by organisations that they might use. And it's more of a targeted scam for them. It is selling them vitamins. It is selling them call blocking services. And it will affect them greatly.
You mentioned the vitamin selling, something that I hadn't thought of before.
Catalogues contain all sorts of different pills and potions and, you know, things that are going to help with all sorts of aches and pains. The telephone vitamin scams are more about food supplements and vitamins, all that side of things.
So what do? We throw all the mail into the recycling as soon as it arrives? How do we tell? Because for some of us, all we ever get is is junk mail.
Yes, indeed. I think anything that says, congratulations, you're a winner, you've won £15,500, just put it straight into the recycling. Take your name and address off first, because if you haven't bought a lottery ticket or entered a competition, how can you be a winner? That's never going to happen. When we go out to give talks, we tell people, you all know there is nobody out there that's going to give you thousands of pounds for nothing. So that kind of mail is obvious as soon as they tell you you've won. I guess the other type of mail to look out for is when they're asking for your personal details. Even if they're not asking for money up front, your personal details, they're worth a lot of money to scam, because they will sell them on. So anything that asks for that, you just don't send it back. Get rid of it.
Are we leading towards a general sort of principle, which is actually just say no?
Probably to be on the safe side, particularly with telephone calls. As a rule of thumb, anybody that calls you up out of the blue, you have no idea who they are. You didn't ask them to call. You weren't expecting a call from them. You just can't trust that they are who they say they are. And just say no, or put it in writing to me and I'll have a think then. But I'm not going to tell you anything about myself over the phone. I'm not going to give you any information. I'm certainly not going to give you my bank card details.
If you take the telephone number that they ring you on, it probably isn't going to be a real one, is it?
No, never call back on the telephone number that they give you. Be careful, because our scammers are very clever. They know, for instance, that if they call and you've got caller display on your phone and it says international, that most people aren't going to pick it up. So they'll make it look like a local number, or they'll buy a number over here that makes it look like it's a UK number. We are aware that our scammers somehow, through great technology, can make it look as though they're calling from places such as a bank, and you think you are dealing with someone from your bank, but don't trust things such as caller display on your mobile phone or your landline to think that that means they're a genuine caller. You have got to make the call yourself. But remember that 5-minute rule as well.
I was just going to ask you about this, because you don't call straight back to anything.
No, that's right, because it's a quirk of our phone systems that if someone calls you, and even though you put your receiver down, if you pick it up too quickly, you can end up speaking to the scammer again. So leave the phone for at least 5 minutes, and then the line will break, or call on another phone, a mobile phone, nip next door to your neighbours and just say, I need to ring the bank, can I use your phone? But don't call back too quickly on the same phone line, or you'd be back speaking to the scammer.
So if somebody rings that says they're from your bank, and this is the particular one that has been ripping off a lot of people, hasn't it? Big sums of money have disappeared this way. They may well say, we are from the bank, all do is ring back this number, and we will be able to confirm that we are your bank. We ignore that number. You go and look at your paperwork. There's a number on there, which is the real number. Even if you ring that one within the 5 minutes, you could still end up back at...
Yes, because they're on the other end of the phone.
So you've got to leave it. Is a 5 minute a technical limit?
Five minutes, it will break.
And there's nothing they do. It's just the system says 5 minutes is enough.
It should be.
So then you can fairly safely ring back your own bank, not the number they gave you, and check whether that was a false call or not.
Yes, that's right.
And in the internet area, it's much the same, isn't it? It's just full of endless.
It is.
When you're dealing with somebody like, let's say you're regularly in communication with Amazon or Microsoft or whatever else, and you get an email from them saying something's gone wrong, confirm your details, you have to assume that's a scam.
I think that's the reason why an awful lot of these scams work, is largely because of coincidence, because you might have a problem with your phone line, or as you say, you're already dealing with Amazon or PayPal or whatever. So then to get some communication back from them isn't unusual. If you haven't been contacted by PayPal for a year or so and you get someone out of the blue, think, I know what that is. But if you are having those regular communications, it doesn't seem so odd. It's all about clicking on those links. Something's happened. We're about to send a delivery out to so-and-so. If it's not you, click on this link and let us know. What you can do is you can hover your cursor over the address, and that will give you a really good indication as to whether that address is genuine or not. I know I got PayPal notifications through recently, the scam ones, and you know, to all intents and purposes, that address looked genuine until you put the cursor over it, and then actually it wasn't PayPal with an L at the end, it was PAI. It was just that I was incorrect.
More often the address is most peculiar. You think,
absolutely.
Well, that can't possibly be.
No, and it really
I kept getting one supposedly from Apple and hovered over it and thought, well, this is not Apple would never send for an address like that.
No.
And anyway, Apple, I mean, companies like that don't send out emails to you anyway.
No, well, this is the thing as well. You know, the HMRC scam is one of the biggest ones that's been around for ages.
If I'd taken all the money that I've been told that they've handed back to me.
I know. But it's funny because the emails are all about the refunds. Oh, we owe you this much, we'll pay you that. And if you hang out, it increases. But we've noticed that there has been a trend in phone calls from people pretending to be from the tax, saying you owe us money, and very threatening, very convincing, and they're happy to be challenged, and they will give you a phone number to ring them back on, but the taxman never rings and the taxman never emails, only ever writes. So as soon as you get anything like that, you know it's a scam, just out and out, and that's going to be the same for a number of companies. That same scam has also changed the demands, are apparently from the council. We've had it certainly in East Hart's area, where apparently council tax is owed, and you know, you must pay us straight away during this call, otherwise we will take you to court. Again, when is the council ever going to ring you up and harass you over the phone and force you to pay like that? They never will. So it's just a case about keeping your nerve, put it in writing and hang up.
That's not always possible to do, to put it in writing. So your sort of second call is get somebody else in on the act. Try and get a neighbour or a family friend or something to come and help you sort through it.
Yes.
But the principle is don't do anything straight away.
No.
Never respond.
No.
What about people coming to the door?
People that come knocking to the door, we have a lot of problems, particularly with driveway work, roofing work and tree work. You know yourself, it's really difficult to get a good trader to come out and give you a quote for work. So if you get someone knocking at your door who says, here I am, I can start straight away and do whatever you like, well, they're not going to be great, are they? And we've just had far too many complaints. We've all seen the rogue trading programmes and know how they can go horribly wrong. So if you've got a window that you can look out and just think, I've no idea who you are, but I can see your van at the end of the garden. Do you know what? I'm not even going to bother and have this argument on my doorstep. I don't need any work doing. Go away. Have nothing to do with them.
It could become a very frightening world, couldn't it, in a sense, if you think, gosh, I'm under attack on the phone and the door and the internet. It doesn't have to be frightening, does it? You can just take control of it somehow.
Do you know, that's really key to it all. It's a really difficult balance, isn't it? Trying to warn people about the kind of scams that are going on and how to keep safe. And as you say, whether you're just going to shutter everything up and never speak to anybody. But we all will get these phone calls. We will all get these people coming to our doors. And if you can just remember, do you know what? I remember what this is about. I know how this works. I'm not going to be a victim of this. And it does give the power back and just stops people falling victim.
Because being suspicious of somebody doesn't make you a nasty person. There are lots of nasty people out there trying to get your money.
Yeah. People always say to me, I expect others to treat me in the way that I would treat others. And unfortunately, our scammers don't think that way. Really, they've got to earn your trust. You cannot take people on face value, maybe like you used to. It doesn't mean don't trust anybody, but don't trust them on that first cold call, on that doorstep visit. They've got to earn that trust and just look out for certain signs that they are a scammer and you don't want to deal with them.
There's an awful lot of us out there to try and reach with all this sort of advice on what to do and what not to do. You go out to groups, do you go and give talks?
Trading Standards goes out and gives talks to all sorts of groups, church groups, faith groups. We go out to sheltered housing complexes. We give talks at Opal events. Opal events are the older person's active learning sessions and they take place all over the county quite regularly. We train up professionals who go into people's homes for signs of scams to look out for. It's not easy. We work for the county council. We haven't got unlimited budget to publicise the work that we do, but that's part and parcel of why we're here today, to talk about it.
Sure. Try and communicate with as many people as possible. Do you go to schools?
No, we don't.
No, because kids don't get scammed in the same way.
Kids get scammed in different ways.
Do you think education is part of this? I mean, do you think if kids understood this world? I mean, the trouble is, again, it's sort of a way of saying to kids, the world's not safe. Mm. You know, the world's full of nasty people. And you don't want kids to grow up with that feeling, but the reality is they have to be aware.
It's a tricky one, you know. For kids, I think it's more about, a lot of it is about their details being out there.
Because on the social media, they will be giving those away regularly.
Absolutely. And I know that, you know, my children look at me and just stop going on. I've heard it said that when the older generation passes away, then, you know, that'll be the end of certain scams. Of course it won't. They'll just be different and newer scams, which will be harder to deal with. Education is really important. We're probably not very good at getting those messages out. We try and deal with one group at a time. We should do more.
Because in many ways, if you're a crook, it's easier being a scammer than being a bank robber.
Do you know, that's how I start off my talks now, is I say, you know, our bank robbers don't have to go out with their stripy jerseys and rob banks. They just ring up and say they're calling from the bank. Because that's what it's all about. Far less risk, less chance of being caught, and able to make much more money, unfortunately.
Okay, so if somebody's had some experience, or somebody's a member of somebody's family has had an experience, or they ring your office, or what do they do?
What they should do is, if it's an out-and-out fraud, you know, it is people pretending to be from the bank, from the police, BT, they should report that to Action Fraud, because that's where all frauds in this country get reported to, and then the police can take action from that as they can. Where it concerns products and goods and services, yes, those complaints can come to Trading Standards. You have to go through the Citizens Advice Service. So there's a consumer number that you can call. They will give first line help and support and tell you what your rights are. And then they'll pass it on to Trading Standards so that we can make contact and say, would you like us to come out and visit? Would you like us to try and help? That's where we get the call blockers out. That's when we can go out to people's homes and take away the mail, try and sort out refunds from traders where we can. And if the perpetrators are in this country, then we will prosecute them and take them to court.
Great. Well, I'll give all those details afterwards, because there's a few phone numbers in there that we can put out for people to use. Thanks very much, Sarah.
You're very welcome.
Now, there are lots of official websites and phone numbers where you can find additional help on these issues. First, if you think you or someone else has been scammed, you can call the Citizens Advice Helpline. That's 03454 040506. I'll say that again, 03454 040506. That's if you've been scammed or if you know somebody who thinks they've been scammed. If you want to report a fraud or cybercrime to the police, contact Action Fraud on 0300 123 2040. And I can tell you that does help, as I used it once myself when I discovered an elderly relative had been scammed. Now, you can also check the Action Fraud website. That's actionfraud.police.uk. And if you want more information about scams, check out the website hertfordshire.gov.uk/scamaware. That's hertfordshire.gov.uk/scamaware. That's one word. For more advice on postal scams, contact Think Jessica on the website thinkjessica.com. For more advice on scams in general, take a look at the website friendsagainstscams.org.uk. And if you're on Twitter, you can get more advice at the Trading Standards Twitter account. That's at HCC_TS. Now, those are all caps, so it's at HCC_TS. That's quite a list, but as Sue said, scams are a real pain and we do need to be careful.